Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This satsang is meant for Saturday, June the 27th, 2015, but you can listen to it anytime you like here on the Aspire website because of sponsors, people who have been so kind as to support this program and not only support it, but keep it on the air, as it were, will, along with our beautiful mystery donor who has made it possible for us to sustain the program for the year. But we need supporters. We need people to help. And if you're enjoying this program, this satsang, I hope that you will support it by becoming a sponsor. And that's how it is basically done. And I would be deeply appreciative if you did that. I really would. Today, we're going to look at a very touchy subject. I get lots of questions about catharsis. And it seems that most people who hear me talk about it don't really understand what catharsis is, how it works, why it's necessary. And though I try to explain it here and there, I have never done a series of programs on it, which I'm going to do today, and hopefully this will help you. There are three catharsises, basically, I should say, that are on the website here at aspire.org. The first one is the industrial strength catharsis called heavy breathers. The second is energy momentum one, much more yogic, if I can use that term. And the third one is morning jewel, and it is a very simple, beautiful, cathartic exercise of going through all seven chakras and breathing. And these meditations, these primers for meditation are on the website here at aspire.org, and you can order them if you like and download them immediately if you like. But they are absolutely necessary. So here are the questions I have received over the last 6 months, and I want to talk a little bit about it. And even my students who have done catharsis for years might find some help in it. Let's look at the word. First of all, Kevin from Washington says, what is catharsis and why do it? That was his question. And Kevin, I am grateful that you listened to us. The word catharsis, according to the dictionary, is the process of releasing and providing relief from a strong repression in the emotional nature. Okay? It's an emotional release. And we all need it. Most of us don't do that. What we do is we take out our anger upon our own body. We shove it down deep inside our emotionality where it can do all the damage it can do. We rationalize it, theorize it. Some people plan vengeance in it and do a lot of ugly things around the idea of their emotionality, and never really cathart it. Some people cathart through eating. Eating. Some people cathart through drinking, alcoholism. Some people do it through sex. Some people do it through compulsive buying, compulsive nature inside, where they become the shopper. And they do all sorts of weird anomalies there. So it can be in any way, and even neatniks and nootniks and all sorts of different obsessions and compulsions can be a part of it. So it isn't just one thing, it's many things. When I was in ministerial training back at Unity 100 million years ago, I was moved by a young man who had come from India, and I was trying to learn meditation at the time. I was about 20 years old, And I was trying to learn meditation. And I had been a long, long time. When I was a kid, I even tried to learn it. It was very difficult, Kevin. When I was a kid, I bought this record, and you would put it on and play, and it had all these odd tones on it. And then you were to find in the odd tone that one single tone that was absolutely, what do I want to say, complete. It was a hum. And if you could keep your focus on the hum, then you had something really cool going on and you were meditating. Well, I would really work at it and work at it, but my mind was very busy and I didn't do very well on it. And I practiced it a lot, and there were times I could hear that hmm, and I would stay there as long as I could, but then my mind would flip me out and I would miss it. And so eventually, as I grew up, I wish I had kept the record. The record got lost, or my mother threw it away or something, and that was the end of that. And so all of that kind of went by the wayside. I met a man back at Unity who was taking a tour of Unity, and I was a tour guide at the time. And he said to me, I told him I was a ministerial student. We got to chit-chatting. His family was there. It was kind of nice. And he looked at me and he said, "What are you into this for?" And I said, "Well, I want to help people." That's when I was young. And he said to me, "The only way you will ever help anyone is to learn to meditate." And then he got up and walked away. Now, that was my karma. To make a long story short, I went and I found a Zen teacher, a Zen master in Lawrence, Kansas, of all places. Went to see him twice a week. And there was this wonderful young man there at the time. And he could see that I was struggling. And he looked at me and he said, "You're too angry to meditate, Greg." Well, that pissed me off. You know, how dare he say something like that? I was about to take him down, show him what anger was. That's a joke. I stood there and I went, whoa, I didn't think I was angry. I didn't discount what he said. I just thought, well, I'm not angry. You know, just like my students do now. I'm not angry. So what happened was, I asked him after about 3 or 4 weeks after he had said that what I could do about my anger. And he said, "You need catharsis." He had just come back from India and he had met this guru there, Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. And he said, I learned this in the ashram and this is what you need to do. Well, he handed me this little book called The Red Book, and I learned catharsis. And here's the story that goes along with it. And I hope this helps all of you, including Kevin. Once upon a time, there was a man who was asleep and who swallowed a venomous creature, which stuck in his throat. He got up in a sort of delirium and started to cough and shake himself to try to get rid of the affliction, which he could not fully understand. At that moment, a man on a horse happening by saw at a glance what had happened. He immediately raised his whip and started to beat the man black and blue, raining down upon him blow after blow after blow without mercy. The half-crazed patient tried to cry out to him to stop, but he could not get the words out. As he ran and withered on the ground and rolled over, he found that he was sustaining all the blows and the pain of it all and could not understand what he had done to make this possible. The horseman said not a word. Eventually, with a mighty heave, the poisonous animal was thrown up by the protesting stomach of the afflicted man after the beating. It was the beating that made it happen. It fell on the ground and slithered away. The horseman, without saying a word, spurred his beast and rode away. Only then did the man realize that what seemed to him an unjustified assault in his misery had in fact been the only way in which he could get rid of the creature before the venom was injected into his system. That, my friend, my dear Kevin, is why we could do catharsis. That is the essence of catharsis. We have to do it every day. I do catharsis in one form or another every day of my life. Every day of my life. I do either heavy breathers or energy momentum one or morning jewel. And I alternate them. And sometimes when I'm having a really difficult day, it's just heavy breathers after heavy breathers after heavy breathers. And I always recommend that a person start off with heavy breathers. Now, not a lot of people can do this. So, Kevin, if you're a conservative kind of guy and you kind of feel like, I don't want to, strain anything here, you're not going to be able to do it. And that's okay. That's just the way it is. But for those of you who have a heart, those of you who know the way, those of you who are maybe curious, maybe serious, I don't know, you will find that doing catharsis is very necessary, very important, and has to be done every day of your life. It's just the way it is. Now, I can't change all of that for you. And you may not think you need catharsis, which is what the average idiot thinks. And I said idiot, and I meant it. We are mean-spirited people, all of us. And I, too, was one of those idiots that thought I didn't need to do it when I was younger. Now I realize every day and every way that is what it's all about. And it is extremely important to do it. Otherwise, you'll just sit by the TV, swallow your pain and sorrow, and let the Barca lounger envelop you and fall away to anger and fear and hate, and you won't even know what you're doing. And not a great deal of money or security or food or sex or alcohol or whatever floats your boat is going to change a single thing in your life. Not one single thing. You will remain as you remain. Kevin, thank you for your question on catharsis. I hope it helped a little bit. Please forgive me. Namaste. Linda from Escondido, where I used to come from years ago. The same old crap keeps coming up as I do heavy breathers. When does it ever stop? Linda. Linda, I don't know if you were there when I was there. I don't know if you took a class with me or not, but if you will remember, if you did, and if you didn't, I will refresh your memory. The object of the game is not to re-ingest the stuff that is coming up and out of you. You have to take notation. After you do a catharsis, you write down all the crap, as you put it, that's coming up. And you look at it and you go, oh, this emotionality is what is causing me the pain and the sorrow. So when I start to emotionally feel afflicted with this or I feel engaged in that, then I need to back off of it. And that's the key, to back off. Off of it, to stand away from it, to, shall we say, fast from it. Now, if you can do that, if you can fast from all of that, something beautiful will happen. Something unique will happen. Your life will change. You'll still have the same impulses, but you will understand, oh, they're trying to get me back to where I was. They're trying to get me back to my anger. They're trying to get me back to my fear. They're trying to get me back to my hatred. Oh, and then you stop. You don't do that anymore. The problem with most of us is we keep it going. We continue the emotionality based on our genetics. And if our genetics is to be predisposed to certain forms of anger and violence, if our genetics are predisposed to certain states of morality, a morality that makes us judgmental of other people, vengeful of other people, angry at other people, then we may know there is an issue. Now, you can do one of two things. You can hate those people. You can resent them. They can be your parents. They can be your family. They can be your friends. They can be anybody. And if you want to keep the hate going, you can keep the hate going. Go on ahead. How will that help you? I have no idea. It will only make things worse. You will only find more suffering, more pain, more unhappiness. You will only find it worse, going on and on and on and on. So if you want to keep this going, you can keep it going. But when the anger and the hostility and the sorrow and the pain start to come up and you re-ingest it, you bring it back down inside. You swallow it again. You go, all right, that came up. Maybe you're angry at somebody or you're angry at yourself. And then it comes up and it's out. And then you think about it and you think, well, you know, I did that or he did that. And I hate him for that or I hate her for that or I hate myself for that. Then you've re-ingested it. And the catharsis begins again and again and again. Now, I have seen this happen over and over and over again to people. This is the way they live their life. This is the way they go about their living. They are constantly living in that catharsis where they bring stuff up, but they never let it go. Now, to let it go means you have to walk away from your emotionality. You can't get all, as girly language, passionate about anything. The object is to stay removed from the passion and the emotion and to be able to observe non-critically, non-judgmentally, exactly everything that is happening. Now, if you can do that, then you've achieved something magnificent. If you can't do that, then you're stuck in the place you're at and you're going to find ugliness all around you as well as within you. You're going to find you're creating the same old stuff. All of my students go through this one way or another. They all have trouble with catharsis because truly they don't want to give it up. You would be surprised, and you will be surprised if you do catharsis, how much hate and fear play a role in your life. The offshoot of hate and fear, anger that we have within us, is some sort of gratification. So your life is built around gratification, I am sure. So if you have all this gratification going on and you're always looking forward to gratification after gratification after gratification, no matter what it is, you're going to miss. I used to ask my students when I was teaching formally, how angry are you on the scale of 1 to 10? 10 being the most, 1 being the least. If I define your anger as unresolved hurt and pain and sorrow. Well, some people were arrogant. I just used to get such a kick out of the arrogance. Well, I'm a 4, maybe a 3. When they were a 40, a 50, a 100. They were off the Richter scale entirely. Why did they not see it? Because they built their whole life around it. Everything is built around the sustaining of my anger as self-righteousness. This is where my selfishness comes into play. My pride, my hubris comes into play. It's really ugly what I do. So if I keep this going on and on and on inside of me, which I do when I'm unaware, then I have this issue. We are all very angry. We don't want to see it. We don't want to acknowledge it. We don't want to know it. We are all extremely angry. and it's deep inside. And when it starts to come up, when that venomous animal starts coming up out of our throat and we start letting things go, even though for a moment we feel lighter, we also feel the responsibility to swallow it again. Why? Genetics, partly. DNA, partly. And also the whole idea that we have nothing to hate leaves us with nothing to rationalize our evil with. Why, if I don't have anything to hate, why would I go out and live my life accordingly and want nothing but one gratification after another? You would be shocked to understand how much we need hatred in our life to sustain our lifestyle. But it is true. Whether you like to believe that or not, it is true. This is why few people make good students. They're not willing to see all that. They just want to ignore it and say, it's not there. That's not true about me. It's true about Greg Penn. It's true about everybody. Everybody. The sad thing is, in the course of a lifetime, there are people we need to apologize to. You will never get to do that, because those people are either passed on or those people just couldn't bear the kindness. They couldn't bear to see you. Maybe they hate you or whatever. So you could never really apologize. Hence, your life is stuck. But if you cathart, your life isn't stuck. I want you to remember something. The greatest act in life is forgiveness. Vengeance is for the coward and the cowardly. Kindness and love and the touch of compassion is the most important thing you will ever learn in your life. And if you're a wise person, Linda, you will do those things. Forgive. I hope you will forgive me. Namaste. It's hard for people. It's really hard for them to forgive. Especially when we're unforgiving of ourselves. Last question comes from Randy. I feel self-conscious about doing catharsis. My family thinks I'm nuts, and it makes me feel embarrassed. What to do, Randy? Randy, I understand. You shouldn't probably do your catharsis when people are around. That probably is going to put the cruncher on it. But really, at some point, you can't care about what other people think of you, because you really have to remember, nobody likes you anyway. They only want you the way they want you because that's the way they want you. You know, they just want you that way, whatever way you are. They don't want to see their own anger, and here you are doing something absolutely the opposite of the family, and they don't want to hear that, and they don't want to see it. So you got to figure out when you can do it and when you can't, okay? And if I were you, I would never let the dictates of a bunch of people that I live with to determine the fate of my life based on their poor taste, their immaturity. I just couldn't do it. Okay, number two. Let's talk about being self-conscious. When things come up and you feel self-conscious, Randy, it's okay. You got to make it safe. You got to make it okay. You really got to look at yourself and forgive you. What kind of asshole was I in my life? I do it every day. Randy, every day I look inside my life and see how I was so unkind, so cruel, so self-centered, so selfish, so spoiled, so blah. And I understand where it came from. My anger. I could look at it and say my anger came up because I was very angry at my mother when she died. She was such a piece of work. And my father, too. They had very little to do with my life. Even as a child, they did very little, both of them. They didn't know their 50s parents. They didn't know what the hell they were doing. They didn't have me for the right reasons. I was there to keep the marriage together, blah, 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 blah. And I was abused. And on and on and on it goes. So, you know, I can see all of that. I don't blame them. I used to. I don't anymore. I really get it. For the last 30 years, I really have lived at peace with both of them. And I'm good with it. I understand the way. But the thing you need to understand is if these things are coming up and they're embarrassing you or they're making you self-conscious, that means they're activated in you. That means you could do them. That means you are doing them. And it's causing you personal embarrassment. And that's something you really want to look at. You really want to deal with. Because you don't want to go to that. Really, you don't want to go to that. So you got to see it for what it is. And just feel it. And step away. And watch it. And deal with it in your daily life. If you do all of those things, eventually, you won't feel the way you do right now. I promise you. Thank you for your beautiful question, Randy, and please forgive me. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I might be of service to you in, please leave a message. Up at the top of the page, you'll see contact. Those emails come directly to me. I'd love to hear from you, and I'll let you know when in the future I'll deal with your question, and you can look for it here on the Aspire website. Have a wonderful day. I hope this helped you. I really do. And please forgive me, eh? Namaste.